In the holy name of Jesus, have you guys noticed anything different this week around church? Anything different going on this weekend? Take a look in your bulletins. You might see what I'm talking about. Notice anything different going on in there that we don't usually have in our services? Yeah, there's some stuff. There's some stuff going on there. There's a lot of stuff going on, guys, and I think that we may have inadvertently created a minor church holiday. I'm not talking Christmas or Easter level here, but we might be on the level of Reformation celebration or some other minor church holiday. Guys, there's so much stuff going on. It's back to school Sunday. We had grade school starting on Wednesday. We had the preschool picnic on Friday. Today, what do we have coming up? Backpack blessing, teacher rededication, second grade Bible presentation. We've got a missionary coming to speak to us here soon. We've got confirmation getting ready to get started in September. And we've got two confirmations coming up next service as well. It's back to school Sunday, guys. We really pulled out all the stops. We ought to just call it what it is. I love the stuff that's going on around here, guys, and I might be getting a little ahead of myself. You can be the judge of that. There's just so much good stuff going on here, and it's a great time to be at Zion. We've got kids all around. They're going to be coming up. You're going to see them. We got their parents here. We got grandparents. It's like a little family reunion here. You ever been to a family reunion? It's a time of storytelling, right? Time of looking back where we've been, where we're going, so that we can know who we are. And at a family reunion, you crack open the old photo book, right? And you might look at pictures that look something like this. Now, you shouldn't recognize anyone in this picture. I just pulled it off of Google. But suppose this were your family's picture. You would notice some people right away. You'd pick them out, maybe the younger ones in the bottom. You'd be like, oh, that looks like so-and-so. There'd be some people you have no idea who they are. And the people that you do notice, well, they're a lot different. Why? Because they're a whole lot younger. And so you ask questions, especially the younger generation. Who's that? What did he do? What did she do? And all these questions are really aimed at answering the question of, who am I? Who are these people who are mine? Where have we been? Where are we going? Pretty soon here, kids are going to come up for a backpack blessing. As soon as I stop yapping, and they're going to receive a blessing in the name of the Lord. Some of the adults are going to come up for a briefcase blessing too. And a lot of them up here are going to be going over across the street for a theme that they'll be going through all year called Family Together in Christ. And I think that this theme is applicable to us as well. It's a biblical principle at all. It's not just for kids across the street, but it's for everyone, all believers in Christ. For by faith we are all a part of the same family, actually. By faith, we all have the same Father. By faith, we all trust in the same promises that that Father will give to us. By faith, people of old, way back when, biblical heroes, all the way to modern-day saints, trusted in those promises. So that means that from Abraham to Moses, all the way through to Doral Schmidt and Margie Hamm, or whoever it is you look to as a pillar of faith in your life, by faith, they're a part of the same family. Your family. So I think it's fitting to think of today as we go back to school Sunday, as a kind of family reunion, a getting together, seeing where we've been, knowing where we're going, knowing who we are. So what do? We crack open the old photo album and check out some pictures like this one. And we look at people like this. People who we may have no blood relation to at all, and we realize that they are actually our family in Christ. And so we ask the questions. We might not recognize all of them. Who's that? What does he do? What does she do? This picture is a couple of years old. You might say, is that really old so-and-so up there? My goodness, he looks so much younger. And so we remember their lives, what they've done here, what they're still doing here. But most importantly, we remember their lives of faith, that they have clung to these promises that we hold here all their lives through. They've been through good times and they've been through bad, and all the while they say, blessed be the name of the Lord, for they know that there is something better coming for them. We look at other pictures too. Now this one, a little bit older. You recognize this from downstairs. It's hanging up in the fellowship hall area. And admittedly, some of the faces are starting to look unfamiliar, especially to the younger generation, I'd say. And that's because some of these saints, many of these saints, have gone on to find their labor's rest. And so we remember them and we ask the same questions. Who's this? What did he do? What did she do? Is that really so-and-so up there? And we remember their lives of faith too. How they clung to the promises of God all their lives through, trusting in a God who would provide for them here and in eternity. They went through good times, they went through bad times, they went through prosperity, they went through poverty, they went through sickness, they went through health, and through it all, they stayed true to the faith. And sometimes it didn't look like those promises that God gave them were in their hands, that they could actually grasp them and taste them, and they trusted nonetheless. And for this, God gave them the right to be called children of God. These are the ones who, when we see in the hallways, hanging up, we shouldn't think of as simply people who were at this church before we ever showed up, who lived and died here before we ever appeared on the scene. But we should look at them as our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, pioneers who paved the way, you might say, who showed us how it's done. For people who live like they lived, make it clear that they were looking for an inheritance that's real, an inheritance that's better. And so it's fitting to think of today as a family reunion, a time of looking back, even as we start a new year. Because we too are focused on the same thing that our ancestors are focused on, right? We're focused on faith in a God who will one day deliver us into his kingdom, which will have no end. And we look back at them because they're the models. They lived lives of faith that showed us how it is. And so what do? We pass on the faith. From generation to generation, from parent to child, just as we've been doing here for 160 years now. And we're going to keep it up for a long time after that. And so, before we wrap up this kind of reminiscing moment, we've got another story to tell, I think. And that's a story without pictures. You may have noticed that we skipped the epistle reading for today. That was by design. Because the epistle reading for today is a story about your ancestors. It's a story about your family. And I think you need to hear it in this context of thinking of it as a family reunion. Because these are the people who came before you in faith and how they lived that faith out. It's an example for you to take hope and to take comfort in. So, this is Hebrews chapter 11. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. By this faith, our ancestors, they received their commendation. By faith, we know that the universe was spoken into existence by the word of God, and that what we see here created was not made by anything physical. By faith, Abel, Adam and Eve's son, he offered a better sacrifice to God than Cain, his brother. It wasn't what he brought, but it was what he believed that made the difference. And that's what God saw and approved of as righteous. And even though Abel died, his blood is still crying out from the ground in faith. He's waiting for the resurrection. By faith, Enoch, he skipped death entirely. They were looking around high and low for this guy, but they couldn't find him because God had taken him up. Now we know that before he'd been taken up, on reliable testimony, he was said to have pleased God. We know it's impossible to please God without faith. Why? Because in order for one to draw near to God, you must first believe that he exists and also that he cares enough to reward those who seek after him. By faith, Noah built an ark, a ship in the middle of dry land. He received a warning about something that he couldn't see, and he acted in reverent fear based on that. And what happened? His whole family was saved. By his faith, he in effect condemned the unbelieving world, but made himself an heir of righteousness. By faith, Abraham, he obeyed God's call to travel to a distant land, a place that he had never seen before, that would be his inheritance. When he left, he had no idea where he was going. By faith, he lived in that promised country. But he did it as a stranger, as an alien, one who had never seen the place before, and he lived in a tent the whole time. His sons, Isaac and Jacob, they did the same thing, living as heirs to the promise. Abraham did this by keeping his eye on the city with real eternal foundations, a city designed and built by God himself. By faith, barren Sarah, she was able to become pregnant, even when she was still an old woman. She was able to do this because she believed that the one who made a promise to her would make good on those promises. And this is how it happened, that from one man's shriveled up old loins that were practically dead, there are now people numbering into the millions. All these people, they died, not having received in hand the things that were promised, but still believing. How did they do it? Well, they saw it off in the distance, and they waved their greeting, and they accepted the fact that they were strangers and exiles here in this world. For people who live like that, make it clear that they are seeking a true homeland. If they had been homesick for the old country at any time, they could have left and gone away. But as it was, they were seeking a far better country, a heavenly country. You can see why God's so proud of them, all of them, why he's called their God, for he does have a city waiting for them. By faith, Abraham, in a time of testing, delivered up his son Isaac to God. He was just as ready to return the promised son as he had been to receive him. And this after he had been told, all of your descendants are going to come from Isaac. Abraham figured, hey, if God can raise the dead, he'll do it if he wants to. And in effect, that's what happened when he received Isaac back off of the altar safe and sound. By faith, Isaac reached into the future, blessed his sons, Jacob and Esau. By faith, Jacob, in his old age, while he was dying, blessed Joseph's sons as he bowed worshipfully to God. By faith, Joseph prophesied of the exodus of Israel while he was dying, and he made arrangements for his burial, not to be in Egypt, but to be in the promised land. By faith, Moses' parents hid him for 3 months after he was born. They saw that their child was beautiful, and they braved that king's decree that would have seen Moses dead. By faith, Moses, when he was grown, refused the privileges of Egyptian royalty, the household that he could have belonged to. Instead, what did he choose? A hard life with God's people, instead of an opportunistic, soft life of sin with the oppressors. He saw suffering in Christ's camp as of much greater value than Egyptian wealth. He had his eye on what was ahead, the payoff that was coming. By faith, he turned his heel on Egypt, ignoring the blind king's rage. He had his eye on the one that no eye can see, and he just kept on walking. By faith, he kept the Passover feast. He sprinkled the Passover blood on the houses so that when the destroyer of the firstborn came through, he wouldn't touch them. By faith, Israelites walked through the Red Sea on dry land. When the Egyptians tried it, they drowned. By faith, the walls of Jericho, they fell flat when the Israelites walked around it for 7 days. By faith, Rahab, the prostitute from Jericho, received the Israelite spies into her house, and she thereby escaped the wrath that was coming on those who don't believe in God. Guys, I could go on and on, but I'm running out of time here. What more is there to talk about? There's Gideon, there's Barak, there's Samson, there's Jephthah, there's David, there's Samuel. All these, by faith, toppled kingdoms. They achieved justice, and they took the promises for themselves. By faith, they were protected from lions, from fires, from sword thrusts. They were made strong, even when they were weak. They won battles. They routed alien armies. Women received their loved ones back from the dead. But there were others who, under torture, refused to give in and go free because they preferred something better, resurrection. Others faced abuse and whips and, yes, even chains and imprisonment. We have stories of those who were stoned, sawn in two, murdered in cold blood, stories of vagrants who wandered the world in animal skins, homeless, friendless, powerless. The world didn't deserve them. And yet they wandered still throughout deserts and mountains and caves and in dens of the earth. Do you guys see what all this means? All these pioneers of the faith who've gone before us, each one of them died not receiving the things that they were promised. It was because God had a plan for us that their faith would be united with our faith to make one complete whole. Their faith not being completed apart from ours. So this means that with all these pioneers of the faith ahead of us, with all these saints, these veterans who are cheering us on, we ought to get to it like they did. We ought to put off every weight of sin that clings so closely to us. Like a runner who's getting ready to run a race, we need to put off like baggy and weighty clothing, and we need to run that race of faith and never stop. Let's fix our eyes on Jesus, the one who started that race, the one who finished that race of faith that we're in, who for the joy that he saw off in the distance endured the cross, scorning its shame, but who is now seated at the right hand of the throne of God. This is the word of the Lord. Now may what you have heard strengthen your faith. This is your family. May it keep you strong in every time of tribulation. And may we all stay in that faith until one day their faith is joined to our faith, to make that perfect whole as we receive the gifts that Christ has promised to us in the resurrection of the dead. So be it for you. Amen.